What's going on, AfterBuzzers? Welcome to another Spotlight On interview. We are here with the beautiful and talented Christina Ochoa, whose year has been insane. Hang out with us, guys. We're going to hear the full story with you right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right. You're back. You came back to the studio.
I'm back. I couldn't be happier. It's been a year almost to date.
It was 1 year ago we were sitting here and we were reveling in the excitement. You had just booked a TV series.
Yes.
Your episodes were airing on the other one. Mm-hmm. And now you have another TV series. That same one's airing again. And the one you're starring in is airing right now. What a year.
What a crazy year, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't be happier. I not only got to work, which is sometimes a rarity in this industry, but with wonderful people.
Right.
That's the most exciting part.
So take me back 2 years ago, the same time. So we're summer in 2015. At that point, you probably hadn't booked Animal Kingdom yet, I'm assuming, so that show hadn't been announced.
No,
yet.
I had not booked Animal. A year ago to date, I had not really started Animal Kingdom, or it had just started airing.
Yeah, maybe.
So it was like a month or two before that. I had been unemployed for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, just auditioning like you do in,
right,
in L.A. And you know how it is. Just going out for stuff and trying to get cast. At one point, I was sleeping on my friend's, like, couch and borrowing $20 to get to an audition.
Wow.
And lo and behold, that audition was Animal Kingdom.
Wow.
And everything then just kind of, like, started happening really quickly. But, yeah, that was a year and a half ago was that scenario.
So tell me about, I want to know a couple different moments. The first one is like when you booked Animal Kingdom, when that happened and you got that phone call, you had to have just been ecstatic, right? That was like a gigantic one.
The scope of the role wasn't written as big at the time.
Right.
It was just supposed to be like a 2-episode arc. And then I was supposed to OD and die. And,
right,
you know, that was it. But working with a caliber of, you know, actors and filmmakers,
right,
that is Animal Kingdom was the highlight of, I mean, my career at the time, hands down.
Sure.
You know, John Wells and the actors that are, and Ellen Barkin. I mean,
right,
I was ecstatic.
Yeah, Robson's a good dude, too.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's tough to work with, huh?
Yeah. You seem to just get cast with, like, super, super handsome dudes all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
And really wonderful ones. And really, really nice. Like, Ben is a sweetheart. I lucked out. Being able to work with somebody who is so, not just professional, but caring and works really well with the crew. And the nature of those scenes, as we have discussed, is very tricky.
Yeah.
So having somebody who's your partner in crime through that,
right,
and who's, hey, let's, okay, we doing this? Let's do it. You good? We comfortable? Yeah,
walking.
Is everything? It was great. That was really good to be with him in that.
I went back to watch our interview from a year ago just to make sure I don't do the thing where I repeat myself. And it was so funny. You told me that was the first day on set, which I had forgotten how crazy that is.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it like the, you know, your first like major, and then all of a sudden you walk in and that's what you've got to do on day one.
Yeah.
What an intense experience.
It was fun. It was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Oh,
yeah,
we're going to do lines of coke off each other's asses today. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's wild.
So it was very intense. But it also, we worked similarly where we wanted to give the relationship the same kind of gravitas.
Right.
Other than the intense, you know, adrenaline rush and sexuality and all of that. But it was very nice to be able to talk about that because it eases the tension.
I ended up loving the show. I mean, you came on the after show here last season and it was a great season. So you jumped from there and you had just booked Blood Drive.
Yeah.
So, and I think you announced it like right then.
Uh-huh.
And then you flew off to South Africa and you were like, I'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. What was that like?
So Cars That Run on Blood.
Yeah.
Because what else would your combustion engine run on? And it was the most exciting, fun experience that I could have asked for. I got to do stunt driving and play a badass. And we were in South Africa. So we got, you know, we got away with a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like, so when you watch Mad Max, were you like, Furiosa, that's my inspiration?
Yeah.
A little bit?
There was a lot of that. I definitely felt like, you know, I wanted her to be lighthearted, but she couldn't be lighthearted. Just her actions had to be kind of campy. So a lot of it with that kind of material is you just wing it. And you sure. take the risk and you say, I don't know if they're going to put this on TV, how they're going to get away with
yeah,
it,
right.
how the censors aren't going to shut us down halfway through, but we're going to go for it.
So much blood.
So much.
So
much blood.
In South Africa, you were telling me off camera, it's just like, it's sticky and kind of sweet.
There's actually three different types of blood.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's three different types. One of them is the dry blood. It goes on, it's like alcohol based.
Yeah.
It's like paint.
Okay. It's not bad.
Not bad. That one used minimally because it's very expensive too.
Sure.
And then they have the cheaper, more commonly used one, which is like honey. And it's the grossest, most disgusting, sticky thing. It takes showers upon showers upon showers normally your trailer or whatever to get rid of, because it's, imagine being drenched in honey.
Oh, God.
Your clothes are sticking to things. It's like you're plucking hairs off when you're trying to remove it. It's terrible. And then there's mouth meat / mouth blood, which is the technical term on the call sheets.
Mouth meat.
It's mouth meat. And it's the blood that actually goes in your mouth because it is technically edible. And it tastes like peppermint. It's not that bad. Yeah, but mouth meat.
You got a crash course. This is impressive stuff.
You're welcome, you guys.
Yeah,
welcome.
I did not know where there was three types. So you go to South Africa and your co-star is literally described as a Ken doll when people talk about the show.
I call him Barbie.
Yeah. So, but you on social media, have they attacked you and been like, you're Barbie because he's Ken, or no, that hasn't happened?
No, they love that I call him Barbie on the show.
Oh, sure.
That's like her way of putting him down a little bit. And I started the hashtag Team Grace.
Okay.
Because that's my character, to be like, hey, you know. And then I was like, okay, I feel bad because it's not including him.
Right.
Let's start the hashtag Team Barbie, which means I win either way. It's insulting, but it's still kind of, you know, whether he likes it or not. It's good. We give each other a lot of, you know, like a hard time, but I'm so lucky to have him because he was experienced. He was our lead, and he was the one kind of helping us navigate, you know, that kind of world in a way that he had done it before.
I mean, I was honestly, and no disrespect to your co-star, but the reviews of the show that I was reading when it first premiered, because I was very excited, you know, on social, I follow you and I see all this stuff and I'm clapping for you, but it kept saying you were dominating the screen. Kept saying like an overwhelming dominance of the screen is what I kept reading, and I was like, that's a good thing to hear as an actor. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to support your co-star, but I was like, that's some pretty big energy, which is obviously why the CW doubled down on you, and now you've got a show coming out in the fall that you're starring in.
It's very flattering. I think that kudos in all respects in that arena to James Rowland, who created not only the show but the role, and he gave Grace kind of like that badass role that I, you know, got to play.
Right.
So it's really kudos to him. It's a very interesting line that you have to navigate because the grindhouse genre is obviously not known for its feministic views and kind of like pro-female advocacy. So he is very much a feminist, and he pushed for certain things for her to have, you know, empower her.
Right.
And I think that's where that kind of comes from, and it's timely.
Are you noticing right now in culture that we're seeing this growth in like strong female characters, not just strong, but like legitimately badass female characters? Like you have Atomic Blonde coming out this summer.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman was like a revelation.
Yeah.
That movie was unbelievable. I mean, you're part of this right now. You're getting to be Mad Max, but you're not Max. You know?
Well, I mean, you know, from your lips, I think that in general, the industry is shifting. I think post the election, and not to get too political, but post election time, everybody wants to make a statement and kind of have a push for whatever they can do. And I think the film industry and this community, I feel lucky to be a part of a community that wants to make that push in that direction and take a stand and fight for, you know, whether it's gender equality, whether it's accurate representation of a varied group of people in the media. And I think that female leads are something that have been far and few in between that are that well-rounded and not necessarily tropes. And I think that pushing for that right now is the best thing that we could be doing. And I'm all in favor of it, obviously, and so are all, by the way, not just as a woman, but the men in the industry are also advocating for that. It's something they want
to
see.
It does seem to be balancing in a way that is exciting. As somebody who covers action movies and has like a big investment in that, it definitely is something I'm noticing. So we just saw The Mummy come out, and obviously the male character was shifted to a female character. Is there any action franchise, any just like big franchise that you watched growing up that you're like, I want to do that, and when they relaunch it, I want it to be me? I want that guy character to move over.
Action. I gravitate towards things like the Blue Lagoon or something like that. Okay. I would love to do that. But as far as action, I have to say, remakes are a little tricky because it breaks your heart when they're really good and you remember them from your childhood in a weird way. I heard Romancing the Stone was something that they were going to remake. That's something, for example, that I grew up loving.
Yeah.
But I would be completely, you know, I hear that, I think it was Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler that are attached to that. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
But it kind of breaks my heart at the same time.
Totally.
It's like, you don't need to remake it. But if you do remake it, I'm available. So it's like weird, like probably something like that.
Well, you know, it's crazy.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that'd be that's the one I was going to go to.
Oh, really?
Indiana Jones. Yeah, yeah. I think it could be a great indie. Something I was reading this morning, just talking about that with remakes and sequels and everything, is since 2010... of the 25 highest grossing domestic films in the last 7 years, almost 75% of them are either remakes or franchise sequels.
Oof.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
75%. There's like a couple movies that have been made that aren't.
Do you think that's fear? Do you think the industry is fearful of taking on new IP and gambling on it? And so they just want the totem pole that comes with an audience? Like, why do you think that is?
I think the biggest reason is that at the bottom line, at the very back end of all of this, the people that are writing the checks that are saying, like, we're going to take this investment, they see if we're going to spend $200 million, we want $400 back. And what's our best shot at doing it? And it's just dollars and cents. I don't think they're saying, like, if we spend $200 and we make, you know, $110 back on top of our investment, but it's a great movie we've won. I don't think in their mind that's how it works, right? It's like, just rehash the franchise the seventh time if we think that's the best rate of return or the safest.
But not in TV.
Yeah, TV is definitely that's the frontier, right? That's like the new frontier.
Because now you can make whatever, as a filmmaker or creator or writer or whatever, an actor, you can bet on something that is totally novel and new and out there and, you know, like something like a Blood Drive on Sci-Fi. You can make Blood Drive if you like Grindhouse. You can make these gambles on stuff that you really firmly believe in because they will find an audience now with all the new like platforms and distribution models.
Totally. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Valor.
Yes.
And you get that phone call, and now it's like it's like a video game. You're next leveling. Each few months, you're next leveling to the next thing. Yeah, right? It's like another extra life. So you find out about this one, but it's just a pilot, right?
Yeah.
Before it gets picked up to series, were you kind of just keeping that energy to yourself? Like, I don't want to get my hopes up on this. I want to just be...
No.
No?
I don't know how to do that. I was all in. I would have been miserable if we didn't get picked up because I was betting on it, and I was making plans of where I would live. In Atlanta, like I think in general most of the cast and the creators, we were all in. There was nothing about it that I was holding back. I wanted it to go with more, you know, passion and desire than I could have ever wanted any show to go in the sense, because the people made that such an incredible experience.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So, yeah. No. I had no plan B. I didn't. Yeah.
Had you ever flown a helicopter before?
No, and we weren't technically allowed to fly the helicopters when we took our first piloting lesson. We were very excited. We went to Van Nuys Airport, and we were going to go, and they were like, hey, we're going to teach you how to pilot a plane, and Matt and I are in the cockpit, and, you know, he's like, great, so do I just take it up and then hand over the controls, and she learns how to land, and then we take turns? And the guy's looking at us like we're insane. He's like, you do realize this is a $10 million, highly sophisticated piece of machinery. You will not get to fly this. You are not even insured to be in it while it's in motion.
Oh, so you guys were just like feeling it out a little
so
bit.
So we got to like learn, and then that night I sent Matt like the application for the flight school, and I was like, look, it takes 400 hours. If we start now, maybe we can make it before the pilot starts shooting. We're still working our way around it with production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, you know, one of my all-time idols is Patrick Swayze. And he's my actual favorite actor of all time. And Point Break, the famous story of Swayze, is that he wasn't insured to do the skydiving scenes. But he insisted that he wouldn't do the movie unless they let him. Which is why when you watch the shots of all of them jumping out of the plane, the only one you actually see doing it for real is Swayze.
Wow.
All the rest of them, it's the close shots on their faces. But you physically see Swayze jump out. And he would apparently go up between shoot days and just do it anyway because he was so obsessed with doing it.
I love that.
So you got to pull a Swayze.
Yes. Get the license. Yes. Doesn't Tom Cruise do that too in all of his movies? He's renowned to be like, if I don't do it.
Interestingly enough, my two favorite actors of all time. So.
Oh, really? So how was The Mummy?
Let's not talk about
it. Okay, let's moving on. Just kidding.
It was rough. It was the only time in my adult life that I've watched a Cruise movie where I was like, Tom Cruise was actively not good in this.
Oh my God.
Which never happens.
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't happen.
Sometimes the movies are like this, but he's always at least like awesome.
Uh-huh.
It was just weird.
Well, some things are, it's a tricky thing, right? We had the same stunt crew as Mad Max and some of those movies in South Africa. And they were unbelievable. Cary Grant and his entire team were amazing. But we got to get away with a lot merely because they don't have unions, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, they're not, they should be unionized at this point,
right?
But we were so far away that we, you know, they were like teaching us handbrake turns, and I got to drive that car, and there was this one shot where I have to do this handbrake turn and come parallel to Alan, who's on his knees on the ground,
right?
So if that car flips an extra 10 degrees or something, I'm literally hitting him on the back of the head with a car, with a Camaro. And we did it, I think, like, it was the first week of shooting. We did it. I did it a bunch of times practicing, so they knew that I had it handled. We did it with him. We got the shots. They were awesome. And then the next day, we got these, like, massive letters from the studio saying, if you ever allow your actors to do something like this again, we are shutting down production. Yeah. So it's, but it's, I get it. They're, you know, they have to protect.
Yeah, protecting the investment. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Well, those are some stories. I can't believe your last year. That's so exciting. So you go back to start shooting the rest of Valor soon then, I'm assuming?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You'll be gone for.
What is probably 4 months unless we get a back order of more. We don't know how long our season is going to be, whether it's 13 or 22 just yet. So right now the writers are crafting up those stories and then we will start shooting, hit the ground running as soon as we get there.
Well, yeah, I've seen you, Tiffany Smith, another friend of mine. You guys have been hanging out and doing your thing. Would you Belize that I saw?
Yes.
You're partying.
Belize was great. And Tiffany and another two girlfriends that I got to bring with me on this wonderful excursion, they all got scuba certified.
Oh, wow.
And the next day after they got certified, we all went down to the Blue Hole, which was 140, you know, 150 feet deep.
Oh, man.
And that was their first dive. I remember, I mean, they were great. They were so comfortable underwater. I thought maybe, I didn't know if they'd be nervous. There were sharks and they handled it like pros.
Yeah, well, because you're kind of like a pro diver a little bit, right? Don't you have like a lot of experience doing that?
It's my longest standing relationship to date.
Yeah.
Yes. Patty, I'm a dive master, and the ocean is, you know, my comfort place. So
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are wrapping on time here. Thank you so much for hanging out. Tell me the story of your last year.
Thank you for having me.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of this last year. This is exciting stuff. And if the folks want to follow along or find you on social, where can they find you?
Mainly Instagram. I'm at Ochoa Christina. And then on Twitter, I am at Christina_Ochoa.
Awesome. And if you guys want to follow along with me, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter or Instagram. Be sure to check out Christina and all of her projects coming up. And Blood Drive's on TV right now. You guys can watch it on Sci-Fi. All right, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.